the University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Kendra Evans. Are you enjoying the treats that Dan brought for us today?
Always, always. Dan brings excellent treats.
Is this Red Hook again?
It is. I'm responsible for much weight gain.
I know. I was thinking about that. Like, if I ever try to diet, I should, like, take Fridays as my day off or
something. Come to ATP to get fat.
If that's what it takes, folks. If that's what it takes.
Yeah, I joked the other day that I'm so easy to poison because people bring in food and they put it on the counter in the chemistry office, and I just instinctively take it. Like, I would be very easy to poison. I mean, I'm not trying to give people ideas, but...
Why not? No, we're not getting any ideas.
Yeah. I told my parents, and it's been tough this year. I gave up drinking pop. I can't do it anymore.
Oh.
And they gave me a giant stack of Faygo bottles, cream soda, rock and rye, and red pop. And I'm like, Mom, Dad, do you remember what I said to you several months ago? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, we'll take it back. So I took some of it. I put it in the fridge in the kitchen. So don't look in there.
I have switched to diet cream soda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It has no caffeine and no sugar.
That works.
It does have artificial sweeteners.
It's water.
So if you go on that controversial road, then I don't know how to handle it. But.
Down in North Carolina, they have a wonderful beverage.
Oh, my
Lord. And even the diet version tastes wonderful.
Yes, that is beautiful stuff.
Excellent.
You can buy it up here fairly regularly now.
Where?
I will have to tell you.
Okay.
Offline.
Good. I'd like to know.
But I've seen it at Westbourne a number of times in Berkeley, actually. Mm. Yeah, so... Continuing around the table, Professor Joe Abbasett is here from Communication Studies.
Yes, I am.
All right. So if I give you like 32 seconds, can you give us your take on the midterm elections? The blue wave!
I thought if you were a Democrat, you were pretty happy about the way things went.
Sure.
It's true, the Republicans gained seats in the Senate, but the Democrats were defending some very difficult states.
It's true.
So nothing was really too much of a surprise, to be honest. I think there were some surprises in the governorships, especially in Kansas, I think was a big surprise. And Democrats in the House did win some districts that were historically very conservative, very red. So that was a bit of a surprise. But,
including a few here in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
District 8.
Yeah.
So... I don't think anything was too unexpected, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next 2 years. We have divided government, and we have a new group or a new body who has all sorts of oversight functions. So
in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the country is going to continue to be very at odds with one another.
That's absolutely right. It should be at least entertaining and give you plenty of things to talk about in class.
Yes.
Many decades to come.
Yes.
Including our Proposal 1 passing. So legalization of marijuana on January 1st, 2019. And as the Free Press stated the next morning, like, cool your jets, folks. It's just the day after the election.
Oh, we got a notice from the dean immediately the day after.
We didn't, which I thought was interesting, because we allow smoking on campus.
Oh, well, we got immediate email the day after, just because, you know, like what the Free Press article said.
Right.
But it's not for public use. It's only in your house or on your property.
There are certain strictures, but we are worried a little bit because we never got to the point. I mean, we were vying with Oakland U for a while there, and Oakland U outlawed smoking anywhere on campus about 5-6 years ago. We missed the boat, and there's nothing wrong with that except for who knows what doors it opens, you know? So
the next brownies I bring to this show. They'll be legal.
I think our listeners will probably know the difference.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here from the Department of Religious Studies.
I was really thrilled at both the number and diversity of women elected to important offices who will bring so much new life experience and understanding of the world and how things work and how they ought to work. I think this is a bright new day in a lot of respects.
You know, a lot of it comes back to the central spot of Michigan as well. We have the first Muslim female joining
first Palestinian-American female.
We have our first outed member of the upper-level administration with our Secretary of State, Dana Nessel. And lots, I mean, considering that and, you know, voting marijuana legal, we've got a lot of progress going on.
Well, that and the anti-gerrymandering bill that passed, and the bill that allows for so many easier ways to vote.
That's right.
I think that's extremely important.
Georgia looks so backwards, doesn't it?
Well,
no offense to Georgia.
A lot of things by comparison.
I think that gerrymandering one is a lot more important than the marijuana one.
Yeah, I think so too.
It hasn't got quite as much attention, but right. It's clearly the more significant.
Except for all of Dave's drawings, which it got a lot of attention from.
I tried to look up those on YouTube. Are they available?
Yes, they are.
I should find them.
They should be.
I'll send them over to you.
Check out Dave's personal YouTube channel.
The
deadfiles.gerrymander.com.
All painful.
Professor Dan Maggio is here from the First Organization bringing us treats today.
Hi, Matt.
How's it going?
Great. Great week.
Sorry you weren't able to travel today for your dinner engagement. We got a, I don't know, what, 2 centimeters of snow out there?
Easily discouraged. Because you have to drive out in rush hour, which is never any fun.
No, and then it's not.
The prospect of coming home right away after dinner.
I can't let the opportunity pass by. I hope you guys won't begrudge me too much that I had Father Norm McKendrick for poetry when I was here. And he once shuffled up to the podium at the start of one of our classes, and just in that stentorian he had, "Why does it seem that every time it snows for the first time in a season in Michigan, it's like it's snowing for the first time ever." So like, all you have to do is be on the road to understand those words.
That's what John Houseman like.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was his gig. Mm-hmm. Those, of course, being the dulcet tones of Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as
so
always.
Dulcet.
Glad to have you, Dave. Thanks for taking our records. Sitting close to the cake so we don't have to feel too bad about
it. Wait, are these those brownie things Dan's been talking about?
They are.
Well, Dan did bring them.
I don't have to go in pee tests anytime soon. I think I'll be okay.
So. I don't think you need to. All right, folks. Well, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on Facebook. We've got some questions sent in by Jeremy Joseph, who is a third-year chemistry major at University of Detroit Mercy, and they're all about Thanksgiving.
All right.
These are there's a couple in here that are sort of that we get every year, and a couple in here that I don't know if we've ever had before. So let's start with one of those. What are most turkey feathers used for after the turkey is sacrificed and plucked?
Dusters?
They're not dusters.
Hmm. Pillows.
Pillows?
Not pillows.
Arrows?
Yeah, nope. I was going to say.
They're doing all the stereotypical stuff.
Pens. Quill.
No quill. Let's see.
How many quill pens do you have, Dan?
I have none.
No, it's none of those things.
What else do you use? Feathers? Wings?
I'll tell you what, they certainly take up a lot of space, don't they? So there's going to be a very large amount of them. So you probably should find
landfill.
Something. You're closest of all the guesses.
How about art?
Nope.
Wait a minute.
Not in the art realm?
Nope.
Performance pieces.
Performance art.
Mm-hmm. Hacking material.
What if, actually that's not too bad. Would it help you if I told you that I think most people know the name of the molecule that things like that are made from? It's the same that our nails are made out of, right? It's keratin.
Yes.
It's extremely protein rich.
Turn it into food for animals?
Yeah, it's animal feed is what they get turned into.
Oh, that makes sense.
Pretty
which
brutal.
Animals? Do they process it down into little pellets?
No, actually, although that would make sense. It says that ruminant animals, such as cows, are the only ones that have the bacteria in their stomachs to digest it, but they can break it down. So it's high protein animal feed.
One day a turkey's going to realize, oh my, we're eating turkey.
Mm. It's people.
It's people.
Soylent turkey is turkey. Oh my
turkeys
God.
Will never figure that out. Never.
Oh my gosh.
We have a lot of turkeys in my neighborhood.
Really?
Tons of them.
No, wild ones, yeah.
We have wild turkeys. Yeah. Yeah, I actually hit a wild turkey in Kentucky one time. Well, but I didn't recognize what a wild turkey was.
There's wild turkey and then there's wild turkeys.
Yeah, it kind of like lifted itself right into my side mirror as I was driving. It was like on the other side of the road. It knocked my mirror off, but it seemed fine. I mean, it was like walking around and looking healthy afterward.
Oh, that's awesome. Which president, and there's a lot of bells and whistles here, which president was the first who gave a presidential pardon to a turkey?
Teddy Roosevelt?
No, that's a great guess, though.
FDR?
No, it was none of those.
Coolidge.
Yeah.
Was it before Teddy?
This is a multi-tiered response, and I'm going to give you points if you hit any of the three.
Okay,
because
so
basically
like
what
those...
we got is the first person who ever did it, but it was unofficial. The first person who did it officially, and then the president that actually decreed this will happen every year from now on, and a president will do it. So there's three different presidents
okay,
there.
So
and they're not
FDR.
FDR is a good guess, but it's not right.
Ronald Reagan.
Reagan is the correct answer. He was the first one.
He was the one to make it permanent?
Pardon. No. Oh. JFK did it first.
Oh.
Reagan did it as a very, very good joke. And H. Bush said, I think every president should do this, so I'm going to continue the tradition.
Let's see what happens this year.
Oh, gosh.
Who pardons who?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
he's eating crow.
We first have to identify the turkey.
I know, I know. What type of meat was most likely served at the first Thanksgiving dinner?
Fish.
Venison.
Venison is what it says here, although fish would have been a close second. You know, there's no evidence whatsoever that turkey was eaten at the first Thanksgiving, which was a three-day meal marathon shared between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag tribe in 1621. Pilgrim chronicler Edward Winslow noted in his journal that the Wampanoag guests arrived with five deer, so they definitely ate some venison.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not venison sausage. What traditional eating utensil could not have been used at the first Thanksgiving meal?
Chopsticks.
Spoon.
Partial credit. No, you know, it says there was definitely a spoon there.
Not a
fork?
A knife.
A fork is what they said. You know, it was actually quote-unquote invented 10 years later, mostly attributed to Governor Winthrop of Massachusetts. And it never really caught on until the middle of the 18th century. So there's no way in 1621... that they would have been using something like
a
fork. And I
thought the spork.
Yes.
Well.
My kingdom for a blue spork. They definitely, according to that Pilgrim chronicler, Edward Winslow, used a knife, a spoon, and their fingers.
Fingers
classy.
Work.
My kids would have fit right in that meal. That's all I have to say. How many calories are there in the average Thanksgiving dinner?
2,100.
No, there's got to be more than that.
3,200.
2,800.
7,200.
No.
7,000.
1,000. All right, now, come on. We've given a lot of numbers, and Kendra hasn't said anything yet.
No, I did. I said 3,200.
Okay.
No, I'll say 1,400.
You know, it says here, according to the Calorie Control Council.
Is this including dessert or no?
They break it down a little bit. The average Thanksgiving dinner is 4,500 calories, 3,000 for the meal itself, and a 1,500 for drinks, dessert, and any appetizers.
Okay.
So I'm taking that one off the list, unfortunately.
All right,
is that for that three-day total?
Well, 3,200 was close.
How about a diet Thanksgiving dinner?
How about that? Think about that diet while we take a break. And we're back, still talking about where all those calories are going. I thought that turkey was sort of a low-calorie meat. I don't know what's
Well, turkey, yes.
Yeah,
but that's only a little part of
the
sweet potatoes.
With the roasted marshmallows on top.
And the rolls. The rolls are nice.
Yes.
But the stuffing, I think, is probably the worst, and that's my favorite thing.
What American product, in general, owes its existence to Thanksgiving? In 1953.
The pumpkin pie.
Not the pumpkin
pie. The parade.
Oh. I was thinking Macy's parade.
No. Gravy.
Not gravy. No.
Cranberries.
The stuff.
Start the sentence again. What
product owes its existence? What American product owes its existence to Thanksgiving circa 1953?
Is it edible or is it?
It's definitely edible.
Stuffing mix.
You guys are getting into the wheelhouse here, as I like to say.
Candy corn?
In 1953,
the canned cranberries.
Someone at Swanson
TV dinners
misjudged the
TV
total
dinners.
Number of turkeys that would sell.
Yes.
And they undersold by 26 tons. They came up with a brilliant plan to cook the turkey, repackage it, and invent the TV dinner. Those were the days, let me tell you.
I remember those Swanson dinners with the little aluminum trays.
Uh-huh. And I always want to know, how did the peas get from over this tray into the peach cobbler so easily?
Peach cobbler.
I love my peach cobbler.
I love it.
And why are there peas on that?
Yeah.
In a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, what does Mr. CB serve his friends for the kids' Thanksgiving dinner?
Popcorn, toast, jelly beans.
Popcorn.
Buttered toast, jelly beans, a handful of...
Pretzels?
Pretzel sticks.
Oh, yeah.
And for dessert?
Oh, no.
Even after the jelly beans.
Oh, there's dessert? There's
Every
dessert.
Place setting, even though it wasn't mentioned in the episode, was fully equipped with an ice cream sundae.
Ice cream sundae.
Oh. Yes. That's the stuff that Snoopy could cook so that they would have the Thanksgiving dinner, which was served on a ping pong table. A classic piece of Americana. Which character from the TV show Friends once got his or her head stuck inside a turkey?
Chandler. Ross, wasn't
Ross.
It?
Yeah.
Not Ross, nor Chandler.
No, wait. Oh,
pretty
Joey.
Much narrows it down. It was definitely Joey. Yeah. The episode was titled...
Gee, that fits. That
the
fits.
One with all the Thanksgivings. The main character spent Thanksgiving at Monica's telling stories about their worst Thanksgiving. Chandler learning of his parents' divorce. Phoebe losing her arms in past lives. And Joey got his head stuck in a turkey. It makes perfect sense.
As an adult or a kid?
It was in Friends.
As like, an adult,
as
yes.
An adult. Like,
I remember now him walking around with turkey. A turkey on his head.
It was definitely a big turkey, and it had quite the massive cavity to slip over his head. Yeah, I forgot
who it
was.
The cavity.
Yeah.
What is a baby turkey called?
Cutie pie?
An appetizer.
Delicious.
Delicious.
A chick.
It's not a chick. A male is usually called a Tom or a
Tom,
gobbler
yes.
sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
A female is, sadly, just generic hen. And a baby is called, starts with the letter P.
A pea hen?
No, that's a good guess.
A petite turkey.
What is the universal term for all the birds that we like to eat?
Pullet.
Yeah, it's called a poult.
Poultry.
Yeah, poultry. So it's called a poult.
Okay.
A little poult.
A pup,
exactly.
Yeah, I did go with pup when he said it started with a P.
Oh, my gosh. Why does Marion Cunningham get so upset in a Thanksgiving episode of Happy Days?
You see who she's married to? Oh.
Uh-oh.
Tom Bosley.
Because Fonz doesn't show up.
Oh, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't the Fonz.
It's because the Richie's brother doesn't show up.
Chuck.
No.
He didn't show up for the third episode.
It's not Chuck.
He didn't show up for years.
Not because of Chuck. This is a common problem at Thanksgiving dinner.
The turkey didn't cook.
I will mention that it usually isn't that big of a deal in the Metro Detroit area.
Snow.
No. Oh.
They didn't say prayer or something before grace?
No. No? You're all... giving really good responses. No, Marion got upset because everybody was sitting around the TV watching the Cowboys game instead
yes.
of actually eating the meal. We don't have that problem in Detroit because we suck. Yeah. There, I said it on the air.
Well, our game's early.
And our game is the lunchtime game anyway.
That's
so,
what DVRs were made for.
Yeah. In the Simpsons Thanksgiving episode titled Bart versus Thanksgiving, what football team is Homer watching and cheering for on TV?
Broncos. Packers.
Don't think too hard. It wasn't the Lions, so it's probably
Cowboys.
The Cowboys, yes. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys have the, now I guess we have to call it the afternoon game because NFL Network actually has a third game on Thanksgiving these days. All the big traditions being trashed to bits. We're very proud of that, of course, listeners, if you haven't heard us say it every other Thanksgiving show before, but the very first Lions Thanksgiving game was played on our campus, just a few feet away from where we're sitting right now. Back in the 1930s. What is the second most popular Thanksgiving pie? Now that's a loaded question right there.
Pecan.
Pecan.
Yeah. It's pecan, yeah. Pecan 15%. Pumpkin clocks in, of course, very, very large, 46%.
What is sweet potato?
I really prefer sweet potato.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lighter.
A lot of people say.
Pumpkin. Same spices, mm-hmm. but it's lighter.
Who's third place at 14% after pumpkin and pecan?
Twinkies.
Cherry.
It's easier.
Apple.
Just the classic American. Chevrolet and apple pie. Isn't that the way this country works? Who said, Thanksgiving has become a day when Americans extend a helping hand to the less fortunate?
I can tell you who didn't say it.
We know.
That's easy to come up with.
It was the first Thanksgiving Day proclamation of a long-standing American president.
What's that? I was going to say Billy Graham, but that's not it.
What year?
FDR?
If I give you the year, you'll know
Lincoln?
Immediately. It was not Lincoln nor FDR.
JFK.
Mm-mm. The Great Communicator.
Reagan?
It was Reagan who said that. November 12th, 1981.
What did he say?
Thanksgiving has become a day when Americans extend a helping hand to the less fortunate. Sort of the modern look at the holidays as being a time to help those in need, which is sort of from the last couple generations, I'd say. It's a good thing. What Sesame Street character is technically covered in turkey feathers?
Big Bird.
Yes. Big Bird's feathers are white turkey feathers that have been dyed yellow. There are approximately, for bonus points here, how many of those feathers on the puppet itself?
Far too many.
15,000.
Yeah, it's 4,000 is what it says here. So think calories of Thanksgiving.
And Carol Spinney retired this year.
Carol Spinney retired. That is a big, big deal. Yeah. It's a big deal in my
world.
She's
the voice of Big Bird?
He is
the voice and the person on the inside. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And will not be around in the future, which is pretty pretty crazy if you think about it. Okay, so whose job is it to come up with an ATP favorite? Jim, have you done an ATP favorite yet? You have to come up with a favorite so that the panel can respond. You want to find out what our favorite something is. What would it be?
Okay, let's see.
Don't say favorite spiritual hymn.
I'll be prosaic here. Favorite book.
Oh, that's great. Now, who's going
to
start?
You're expecting us to read?
Jim has inoculated himself by coming up with the favorite. But we have to decide what our favorite books are. I mean, I'll go first.
Okay.
I mean, it was a long time ago and probably...
In a galaxy far, far away.
Pretty close, actually.
Oh, Star Wars?
No, not Star Wars. But I read Douglas Adams. You know, he passed away a number of years ago. He was a famous British comedian. He wrote an entire Star Wars knockoff series that basically is sci-fi comedy called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
My favorite book is the second one, The Restaurant at the End of the Universe, which surrounds the fact that you go to this restaurant to have your meal, but you fast-forwarded to the end of the universe, so you watch it as if it's a TV show. And it's just always stuck with me. Like, the characters have to rush off and do something as part of the plot, and they're going back to the past because they don't want to be there at the end of the universe. And the paragraph where he's describing them leaving just ends, because part of the story is that the universe ends, so the paragraph just ends. And I'm never going to forget that. As they're flying away, the one guy was like, "Oh, I really wanted to see the universe."
Aww.
And, you know, and they're like, "Ah, it's just a Gnab Gib." What's that? Big Bang backwards. And that's the joke. So there you go. Read that in seventh grade and have never been able to look back.
Which one had this line, "Ode to a lump of green putty I found in my armpit one midsummer morning"?
That is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
Well, I did appreciate that line in like the third grade or something.
I love the fact that you know that. Actually, that's pretty cool. Not many people know those books because he passed away at a very, very young age. Douglas Adams did. He's the originator of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, which is the Elijah Wood TV show that's on now, and they made a movie a few years ago. Very entertaining stuff. Very British humor. That's all I got to say. So there we go.
Okay, I'll go next.
Kendra.
I'm really not a reader. I listen to books on tape sometimes on my way in. I do have a long commute. It's practically to Ann Arbor. So I listen oftentimes to like John Grisham, but the problem is I've listened to all the John Grisham books available on audio tape from my library. So, and by audio tape, I mean, you know, electronic, what is that called? You know.
MP4s?
Yeah, exactly, those. But so instead, when I am not listening to a book on tape, I will be doing a puzzle book with things like crossword puzzles and logic puzzles and such.
Stay sharp. Okay. Awesome. That's awesome. Good. Who's going to chime in now?
You're next, Joe.
I guess, I mean, I have a couple. I don't know if I'm allowed to.
A couple? Of course.
Sure you are.
Okay, well. I liked The Remains of the Day by Kazu Ishiguro.
Yeah.
I think a very nice, I know there's a film of it. It's with Anthony Hopkins.
And Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched
Who's
once.
Now a Dame, incidentally.
Oh.
I like The Name of the Rose.
Yeah.
By Umberto Eco. I would imagine you would have read something like that. Obviously, To Kill a Mockingbird, very nice.
Oh, classic.
Pride and Prejudice, very nice.
Oh, nice. Jane Austen fan.
Yeah.
My wife and you would get along very well.
There's a number of books. My Antonia by Willa Cather.
Okay.
Very nice. I've read lots and lots of books on baseball, at least 50 to 60 books.
Holy smokes.
On baseball, so that's an entirely different genre. It's not quite literature or easy reading.
It counts.
You read all the Bob Costas?
No.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Not the Bob Costas. I read a lot of biographies, a lot of stuff about teams and pennant races and things like that. So,
very cool. Like Tom Stanton's book.
Tom Stanton, I've read his stuff, obviously. A number of different books.
Cool. Very cool. Looking to the other side of the table here.
Not a big reader like Kendra.
you just like going for long drives.
So the most enjoyable books in my life have probably been math textbooks.
I was just going to say, honestly, I was just going to guess
it. When I was a kid, probably The Stand and Amityville Horror stick out.
Yeah.
I did read when I was in high school.
Sure.
Yeah,
I had to, and I did. Yeah. I am sad that I don't read more as an adult.
Sure.
Time.
So. Sure. Yeah, I'm more of a video person, I think.
It's all right.
Yeah.
So, but I should be, I should read.
I know, more. We all should.
Anyway, I've read a few books as an adult, so.
But you were into some pretty serious horror there from the beginning.
That's I read a lot of Stephen King books when I was young.
Yeah.
My best friend read them too, so I think we were back and forth.
Sure, exactly. That makes sense.
Okay, I'm going to be slightly embarrassed with mine. Encyclopedia Brown when I was a little kid.
Oh,
remember
come on.
Those?
That's great.
Those
are
wonderful.
Those are wonderful.
It was those and Chronicles of Narnia when I was a little kid.
Of course.
Since then, I've transcended and moved on to like Mad Magazine, Marvel Comics, DC, all those other things. That's all.
So question, does Chronicles of Narnia read like mere Christianity? Because that is like thick reading. Is it
It's a novel. It's a children's novel.
No, I understand, but like, is the vocabulary required at the level?
Because the preaching that's in it is very subtle.
Okay.
I mean, it's in the characters.
But the vocabulary and like the fluency.
I think I read it when I was 12, so I didn't.
Well,
if it was preaching,
he did teach at Oxford, you know.
Right.
Yeah, no,
I know. I feel like I'm like in Oxford when I'm reading his books.
But it's very readable.
Yeah. Like I said, I finished three of them when I think it was like in a week and a half when I was that age.
Okay.
I had no social life then. I'm sorry.
Jim, what were you going to say?
Well, I've read so many novels that were, in terms of enjoyment, right at the top of the list. But I think the most significant for me was probably The Brothers Karamazov.
Oh, wow.
Dostoevsky. Because it's just big questions that it deals with. And it's very, very readable, if you can remember all the names.
Sure. It's a long book, man. That's
it's a long book, but it's a good one.
Very, very cool. We covered a lot of bases here. I'm like, is it possible for me to be proud of everybody? Like, we got, all that stuff covered.
The Encyclopedia Brown.
Whoa.
And we just ran out of time.
And we just ran out of time, too. So I'm afraid we're going to have to say goodbye, Dave.
See ya.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Joe.
Take care.
Kendra.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.